This is the A2R Recovery Service podcast. Copyright Dave Cooper, all rights reserved.
Hello, my name's Dave Cooper, and I want to welcome you to another in the series of podcasts for the Alternative to Rehab Recovery Service. This particular subject is going to be negative self-talk. So let's define what it is, as it is such an important thing in early recovery. First of all, it's talk, and by talk I mean largely what goes on in your head. Not always, because self-talk obviously can be verbal in the company of others, or often when you're on your own. But largely we're talking about what goes on in your head. We're talking about self-talk, in other words, how you talk about yourself to yourself. And of course, we're also talking about negativity. If you were enormously positive about yourself and were forever congratulating yourself and saying how well you'd done, then there wouldn't be any need for you to be listening to this. But if you're an addict in early recovery, there's not much chance of that. The likelihood is that there is a crazy amount of negative self-talk going on in your head. And one of the things, one of the reasons why we don't address this as much as we should until we get taught and until we understand the importance is because no one can see it. It's just human nature to be more concerned with things you can see than things you can't see and things other people can see before things people can't see. So the fact that no one can actually see what you're thinking leads it to be unexamined, shall we say. So we're really looking at the question, how do you talk to yourself about yourself? And let's apply a general recovery principle to this. I'm going to do a podcast on all of these recovery principles so that we can go through them one at a time. But one of the big principles I would say in recovery is that everything you do should build your self-esteem. Now, that means everything you say, everything that you believe, every relationship you have, every time you the time you spend with people and so on, everything should build your self-esteem. And when we're talking about negative self-talk, even when we're talking about building self-esteem, we're looking to do something called positive bias. What that means is that we know we're being biased, but it's a good thing. In other words, the playing field is so unlevel. In other words, you're being so negative about yourself generally. I mean, in my early recovery, you know, I certainly wouldn't want anyone to hear the sort of talk that was going on in my head. So we need to make the playing field actually unlevel the other way. We need to be, what I say to my clients is, go over the top. Congratulate yourself more than you feel is right, for more things than you would normally even think about. Keep congratulating yourself. What you're doing is you're actually leveling the playing field by being biased. So we need to create a bias towards positivity. And that's because there's so much tendency towards negativity that's in most addicts that I've met, it's been unchecked for years and years. So what's happened basically is that you have trained your mind. Now we're going to go on and look at that in just a moment. But can I just say before we move on that to esteem yourself is sometimes a wrong idea. Now let me just explain myself here. You hear a lot of stuff these days on self-esteem and how you've got to esteem yourself and all this kind of stuff. Well, what I would say is this. It depends what you're doing. You see, if you go around and you're still, you know, maybe you've stopped using, maybe you've stopped your habits and your whatever you've been addicted to, but you're still going around cheating people, maybe you're robbing, maybe you're lying to people, maybe you're still full of fear, maybe you're still full of resentment, and yet you're following this path to sort of esteem yourself all the time, but you're still doing all these old habits. Well, I think esteem comes from what you do. So I think you should esteem yourself by doing the right things and then congratulating yourself when you do them. Everything you do either builds your self-esteem or dismantles it. And I know these are tiny, tiny things. If you say, oh, well done to yourself that day because, you know, you were polite to everyone or something like that. Now, it seems like a tiny thing, and that's because it is. But these tiny things build up. They really, really build up. So, let's look at the idea of the mind in general, because I think there's a few important things we can say about this before we start tinkering with the way that we're thinking. Because there's a few things that really flummox people when it comes to the thinking. And when you understand some more about the way the mind works and your attitude and approach towards the mind, this can help tremendously. So let's say a few things about the mind. Number one, I want to say that it is creative. Number two, I want to say that it's autonomous. And number three, I want to say that it's yours. Now let me go through those one at a time. First of all, we say that the mind is creative. Now, it's the creative part of us. And what that means is this. It means that we wouldn't have any mathematics, we wouldn't have any science, we wouldn't have any art, we wouldn't have any music, we wouldn't have any poetry, we wouldn't have any playwrights, we would have none of the novels, we would have nothing creative if it wasn't for our mind. So the mind creates by taking two pieces of information and making a new piece of information. Now that's creativity. And that leads us straight on to number two, which goes hand in hand, and it's this idea of autonomy. Now, autonomy is a long word, and what it means basically is this. It means it works on its own. Now, the mind isn't fully autonomous, but it has some autonomy. In other words, we all know this phenomenon. It's a very normal and common phenomenon. You know when an idea just pops into your head and you just sort of think, oh, I've just had this great idea. Well, where did that come from? Well, it came from those two things. It came from the fact that your mind is creative, and it came from the fact that your mind is autonomous. Your mind plays with ideas. It plays with whatever you put in there. This gives us a good clue towards how our mind plays a part in addiction as well. Because if someone spends a lot of time looking at internet pornography or looking at internet gaming, then this is what they're putting in their mind, and their mind will then start to play with it because that's what you've put in there, and it will be creative around that. And then we get all sorts of ideas of obsessiveness and so on. But it's quite a natural process. Whatever you put in there, it will start to play with and create from. But the third principle, I think, is equally important and more important in terms of our recovery, and that is that your mind is yours. It's been given to you to use, it not to be used by. And I think this is the all-important principle. Once you realise that your mind is yours and that, like your arms and your legs and your eyes, it's there to be used by you, then I think we're really going to start to get somewhere. But I hear you say, you know, this is not my experience. My mind's like a washing machine. I can't control my thoughts. These ideas just keep coming, my obsessiveness, my compulsion to drink, etc., etc. It doesn't feel like my mind. It feels like something's just going on up there that's just crazy, and I don't even want to let people know about it. It seems so mad at times. Well, that is not to reverse the principle. That is simply to accept your own experience, which is everybody's experience when they've allowed their mind to run the show. You see, what I'm going to ask you to do and what I'm going to ask you to practice is actually not difficult. If it was difficult, if I asked you to do a really difficult thing, then what would happen is you would start to say, well, you know, he can do it, he can't. This one can do it, this one can't. But if I ask you to do a really simple thing, but I say that that simple thing must be practiced over a period of time, it then involves discipline and commitment, well then, he will do it, he won't do it. It's not about can and can't anymore. It's about some people will and some people won't, because it's extremely simple what I'm going to ask you to do, but it does involve commitment and discipline. You see, if you've trained your mind, which is creative and autonomous, that it is in charge, you've simply let it run and play and create and be on its own, well, you've trained it to believe that that's the truth. You haven't trained it that it's your mind, you haven't trained it that you're the boss and that you're in charge. So the retraining is going to take time. It's not going to happen just because you make your mind up and just because you say so. It's going to happen because you do several weeks and months of practice at proactive practice in the way that you think. So I want to encourage you and say, look, this is going to be a really simple exercise, but it must be practiced. Well, the psychologists tell us it takes somewhere between 20 and 30 days to reprogram our minds. That means if you were flat out relentless in this process over the next 30 days, you would definitely be thinking very differently. But most of us can't keep that up, so it may take a little longer. But what I'm trying to say to you is that it's actually simple. It just takes discipline. So what am I talking about? What is the simplicity of the practice that we need to do? Well, in order to understand this, I want to give you two metaphors. A metaphor is simply a picture that helps you understand something. So I want to give you a picture of a cinema and a picture of a sheepdog. What have they got to do with your mind? Well, they're just pictures that help you understand. You see, if we think about the cinema now, what happens when you go in the cinema? Well, you sit there and there's a screen, and then this film comes on and you have to really watch it. You have to listen to it. There's really no choice because you didn't make the film. Your only choice is to look for the exit. Now, for the addict, that will be the drugs or the behavioural practice. But basically, that's your only choice, is to look for the exit. Now, this, I would say, is a far too passive view of the mind. You'll hear me talk about this a lot on the other blogs and podcasts. It's far too passive. This is not the best way to think of the mind. If you think that all you can do is just sit there and have to put up with whatever goes on up there, then you've had a wrong idea of the mind and it's not useful. So I want to give you another picture. And that picture is of a sheepdog. Now, it's much more useful to think of your mind like a sheepdog. A sheepdog is what? It's slightly, of course, separate to you, although it's owned by you, and it can't wait to get to work. If you say, off you go, round those sheep up, do this job for me, off it goes, it's looking up, it can't wait to get going. That is the way you should think of your mind. Now, it's going to take practice. There's no way that that's going to happen overnight, but if you start to make that shift, you will find that over time you will start to think differently. Now, let's start with some simple ideas here, because I understand that you simply cannot stop thoughts coming into your mind, and I'm not even suggesting that you should. In fact, the last thing we want to do is set up conflict. Conflict just involves fighting. That doesn't tend to work. So what am I saying? I'm saying that when a thought comes into your mind and it's an unattractive thought, particularly if it's negative about yourself, what I'm suggesting is that you counteract that thought and don't fight it, don't tell it to go away, don't insist that you don't think like that anymore, but simply counteract it by the way you speak to yourself, by the way you proactively think about yourself. Have some affirmations written. Write half a dozen affirmations about yourself, stick them above the kettle or the shaving mirror or wherever you are likely to be every day, and every time you see it, say it. If your mind is coming up with negative stuff about yourself, speak out the positive stuff. If you're in public and you can't do that, well, think the positive stuff. Congratulate yourself at every possible opportunity. Think it through. Tell yourself how well you did with something. Find the positive in something. Find the way of thinking about this that actually builds your self-esteem. Now, again, I can't be there with you every day to make sure that you keep this up. I just want to really promise you, I have seen these results in my own life. I have seen these results with many, many clients. You can change your mind. You'll simply go on your experience, and your experience will be that it will change gradually over time. So I want to leave it there for today, because I think I've given you plenty to think about. I do encourage you to listen to this again, go over the process again and the arguments in your mind, and convince yourself that this is the way to go. In 30 days, you'll be thinking very, very differently if you continue to practice these simple ideas. So until next time, bye for now.